Now, an investigation has been launched after a patient at an emergency department was followed around by a member of staff who consistently was asking if she was a private patient. The matter was raised, I think, before the Public Accounts Committee yesterday, of which a member is on the line now, Social Democrat TD Catherine Murphy. Good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Where did this happen?
It happened in St. James's Hospital earlier this year.
And just explain the rationale, what happened here.
The woman and her husband came to me in early April to tell me of their experience, and essentially they were pretty outraged by it, and I was really taken aback when they told me the detail of it. She arrived at the hospital. There was a concern about her being about a possible heart attack, and essentially they were asked to, you know, there was the usual forms to be filled in. She was asked, did she have a medical card? Did she have a private health insurance? And there was box ticking went on that. She was admitted, and in the A&E ward, then I think she was on a trolley, and essentially it was a member of the consultant's staff arrived with a clipboard and asked her to fill in a form. And she inquired, you know, about the form, you know, what was the form for? And she said, no, I'm not going to fill that in, or I'm not going to sign that. Eventually, she was admitted to a ward. The person came back and was, you know, putting her under serious pressure to fill in the form or to sign the form, and essentially kept at it. And essentially, the woman's blood pressure escalated, and a medic was called. After that happened, the person came back and said, you know, will you think about it? And my understanding is that they came back the following morning, and then when she didn't sign the form at any point in the hospital, and then when she came home, she was pursued in the form of a letter seeking her signature on this form.
So this is even after she had left the hospital?
Yes. And she contacted her, the people in her health insurance, and they advised her not to fill it in.
Now, there is a practice, Catherine, and we've discussed it on this programme and others, mm-hmm. of being in an emergency department before you are admitted. So you are sick enough that you are to be admitted, but yes. you haven't been admitted yet. And a man or a woman will appear with a clipboard asking for you to pay your private health insurance from that point on. This seems to be slightly different insofar as this was a lady who was actually admitted to a ward yet was still being pursued.
Yeah, The thing about it is that, I mean, I think the one thing that's important for us all to remember is that, you know, when you're admitted to an A&E, everybody is entitled to be, you know, treated as they go through A&E, you know. Essentially, people are at their most vulnerable at that point because, I mean, you don't present to A&E unless you're sick. And this kind of pressure, you know, in this particular case, could have compromised that woman's health.
Yeah, and what was the logic of the pressure? Have we established at all why this may or may not have been going on?
Well, the logic of the pressure is that targets are set each year, and those targets are going up, and the hospitals are expected to maximise their private income, and the targets are completely unrealistic and unsustainable. So it's prompting this behaviour.
You're confident, therefore, that this wasn't an individual attached to a doctor?
No, she didn't.
This was an individual attached to the hospital?
No, this individual arrived at the hospital, obviously not well, she was obviously not turned away. She was admitted. She was in the A&E section, and it was at that point that she was pursued, and from then on.
How do we stop this? Because that lady, I'm assuming, would have been entitled to care. If she was deemed sick enough to be admitted to hospital, it didn't matter whether she had health insurance or not. Once she was there, she should have been treated without anybody coming next or near her with a clipboard.
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't just, you know, would you fill this form in? This was, she was aggressively pursued. And at a very vulnerable time. Now, what is prompting this behaviour is the key issue. And, you know, the very fact that targets are being set each year means that if these targets go up, this kind of behaviour will will escalate rather than be reduced. And then I raised it at the Public Accounts Committee yesterday because I had met with the Minister for Health. I had told him about this, and then I had put it in writing to him, the detail of it, where it happened, who it was, the dates, all that kind of stuff. And what I did then he came back to me. Actually, I got the letter back, I think it was last week or the week before. And it essentially, what I was pursuing with the HSE yesterday in the Public Accounts Committee, because we were looking at the accounts of the HSE, and if targets are being set in hospitals, you know, it cause and effect was what I was trying to pursue in relation to this.
And there's an obvious effect, particularly on the lady you're talking about. But I wonder, how much of an impact is it that the hospitals need that money from private health insurance companies to keep the doors open, to keep the lights on, to keep the staff employed?
Yes, I mean, essentially, there's no doubt that there is a link between how we fund our health services, how we provide provide for health, and then, you know, there's an inappropriate mingling of in this particular section, in the A&E section, pursuing somebody that is sick. This is not elective surgery. This is not this is somebody that is arriving to a hospital sick. But one of the things that I was told in the letter back to me was that the HSE has no centrally held policy to direct individual hospitals on the completion and planning of these forms.
So who's it up to? Is it up to the individual hospitals or the hospital groups?
That's what I was told in the reply back to me, that that it's what individual hospitals are setting their own policy in relation to this.
How beautifully unaccountable.
Sorry?
How beautifully unaccountable.
Yes,
it's individual hospitals who are never brought before your committee.
Yeah, no, the reason I raised it at the Public Accounts Committee was, obviously there's a link between income for the running of the health service, but there is also, you know, also the lack of a policy in relation to this, and that this aggressive approach could be taken, and essentially, what I was asked for yesterday, would I provide this individual case? And unfortunately, you do often have to provide an individual case for people to actually see and document what is happening, because this is not going to be an isolated case where this lady was,
Catherine, I'll tell you it's not, because I'm looking at the screen and the text messages that are coming in. 53106 is the number for your text messages, at Jonathan Healy on Twitter. One listener says, a hospital staff member told my husband that our daughter was going for surgery, that he simply had to sign the form. Far too stressful a time for us to be arguing with staff about forms. I mean, there's a difference between signing a consent form, which presumably you would have to do for a minor, and signing a form that would allow for the procedure to be paid for privately. My mum was in hospital a few weeks ago, through A&E, admitted via an ambulance, stayed there for 6 days. My sisters were hassled 3 times for the private health forms over the week to be signed, even though she was in a public ward and not private. Now, do you know who I feel sorry for in this? I feel sorry for the person with the clipboard, because they don't want to do this. They know that they're trying to catch people at their most vulnerable, yet they're being sent to do that job by somebody higher up.
Yeah, it goes back to the targets being set. It goes back to, you know, hospitals being expected to maximise private income. And if that prompts the behaviour, essentially you're then looking at a very different health service. And that's part of the reason why, the Future of Healthcare Committee was set up. It's an all-party committee under the chair of my colleague and Social Democrats, Roisin Shortall, because we really need to start. We need to build a health service, you know, where this kind of behaviour is not prompted by, by this kind of mixture that causes a problem where people are most vulnerable.
Well, have a listen to this one. If this doesn't set your blood pressure off, I don't know what will. I was being treated by a consultant who repeatedly pressured me to be treated as a private patient. I said I wanted to stay in the public system. When I did eventually go private, he asked if he could retrospectively bill me for the treatments I had received as a public patient. Eventually, he told me he had to discharge me because he said I was blocking a bed.
Can I just say, Jonathan, it's really important that people should realise that when they present to an A&E, it isn't a question of whether they have health insurance or not. They're entitled to be treated. They're entitled to be admitted if they're sick. And I think it's important that people shouldn't be afraid to present to an A&E. And I think that I've certainly come across, and you know, older people, for example, who have health insurance, they're barely living a little above the state pension and are trying to keep their health insurance going because they're afraid of being sick. We need to stop people feeling that is the case. You're entitled to be, when you present to an A&E, you're entitled to be treated.
I was approached at 2 a.m. in a children's hospital to sign. At 2 o'clock in the morning, they still have people with clipboards chasing you around at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Was my experience, the lady I'm talking about was during the night.
Yeah, while my daughter was having a seizure, that's when they approached. I was told I'd have to pay €75 a night if I didn't sign. The VHI told me they must pay all €800 a night and can't just pay €75 a night for the public bed. That's shocking. If you have any common decency, you don't approach a parent whose child is having a seizure at 2 o'clock in the morning and ask them to sign something. I'm flabbergasted by this. Claire said, my husband, was a private patient in hospital a few years ago. He was brought for some tests and put into a day ward. At lunchtime, everyone in the ward was served a lunch except my husband. When he requested a lunch, he was told he wasn't getting one because he was private. A man beside him told the staff member off and he was eventually given a lunch, which was rather ridiculous. I was asked to go private on the day I left hospital, having had surgery through the public system, so they wanted to be paid twice. You spoke to Simon Harris about this, who has the misfortune of staying on the Department of Health, as many might see it. What's he going to do about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, when I raised it yesterday, he had come back to me and said that they would they were going to investigate this particular case. And individual cases being investigated is helpful, but the point that the person who came to me, she actually wanted it to be changed for other people.
It's a culture, Catherine. It's not an individual incident.
The culture is being driven by something, and the culture is driven, and I'll go back to it. The culture is being driven by the targets that are being set each year, and those targets are going up each year. So if the culture is there, that culture will get worse unless it's arrested, unless something changes.
Give me your thoughts on this one. Why is it controversial, as a listener, that people with health insurance use their insurance for their hospital stay, thus taking the burden off the public purse? This debate is fuelled by the insurers whose profits are soaring.
No. Look, let's not get this confused. These are people that are presenting at A&E. These are people who are sick, who, you know, the last thing in their mind they're thinking about is, do I have health insurance? They are arriving at an A&E. They're arriving at an A&E and they're admitted. And it's after that they're pursued. It's only when a box is ticked that they say that they have health insurance that they're put into a category. This is not a category that necessarily they have selected. I mean, it isn't a question that you can't be admitted unless you have health insurance. You present because you're sick at A&E, and if you're sick enough, you'll be admitted. Let's not conflate the two things.
I didn't mean for this to be a Dutch auction as to which is the worst kind of story you could get about people with clipboards in hospitals, but this is another one. I was presented with forms to sign while my daughter was in resuscitation, having suffered a significant asthma attack and had arrived in the back of an ambulance. Someone else says, you feel sorry for the person with a clipboard? Clearly you've never had to interact with a clerical person in a hospital with a clipboard. I have, and I've told them to shag off because I didn't want to talk to them at that exact moment in time and to come back at a later point. I didn't care if their feelings were upset. I was on a trolley. In hospital, says another listener, when my dad was literally in the throes of a heart attack, we were approached at 4 a.m. to sign VHI forms. Catherine, we have to do something about this. This can't stand that you have this policy.
Well, it's part of the reason why I raised it at the Public Health Committee, the Public Accounts Committee yesterday, because the HSE were in front of us. It's part of the reason why I raised this case with Simon Harris in April. I think it's been more publicly aired in recent weeks as well. I would hope that the review that they do of this particular case will help in doing something about this behaviour.
Another listener says, I was sitting with my friend in hospital after she returned from theatre, having had a lumpectomy and a number of tumours removed. The lady from the finance department arrived at her bedside and tried to strong arm her into signing the form. I'm a member of the same health insurance company and I advised her not to sign as she was being treated as a public patient. The lady with the clipboard proceeded to tell my friend that this money was needed to finance research for breast cancer and the likes, and that without this money, that wouldn't be done. I ran her from the bed. It was shocking. So you're there standing next to somebody who has had a breast removed or a lumpectomy. They've had tumours removed. Somebody is looking for money from your health insurance company to pay for the bed, and they tell you that it's to do with cancer research. I think there's a lot more stories out there, Catherine, and yep. I think you are on to something. And no doubt, given your tenacious nature with matters of this particular type, it won't be something you will let go.
No, it won't.
We will request, for the sake of it, the HSE to see what tuppence halfpenny worth they might be able to throw into it as well. Catherine Murphy of the Social Democrats, thank you very much for joining us. 53106, keep those stories coming in.